at Frederick today, some respects, he's a mixed audience, and respects heterogeneous audience. Homogeneous. Many of those who are here are still getting their feet wet in the Spanish, in the issue as a whole, in our soil. Hopefully, there's someone overwhelmed. Well, I say hopefully. Is that a good state of mind to be in? But it all depends how one perceives us as soil, how one perceives learning in yeshiva on a full-time basis. How one perceives those particular entities here and now. What one's overall scale of values is, which determines, impinges upon the totality of one's response and sensibility. A few weeks ago, I attended a bar mitzvah, and I was sure we now live the many bar mitzvahs. Baruch Hashem, it's a large Olam, and they've been here long enough, most of the family has been long enough, that someone in the bar mitzvah range and given the pressures of time and given the frequency of bar mitzvahs here, I don't generally have the opportunity, the ability stay all evening and enjoy the festivities. So I try somehow to maximize most efficiently and most meaningfully for myself and for the Natalia Yovel, name of the Mitzvah boy, to get the most out of the time we can spend together. Several weeks ago, I had this good fortune, what have it, to Sibachot in the same evening. One Chassid Yerushalayim, then the Bar Mitzvah right here in the Old Shvut. I had a fish with the Chassid. Got here and, how should I say, it was about a 7th inning stretch. We were milling around and obviously started to think about going home. I didn't leave much time for myself. That's the call of my Mr. Boy. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. Bear in mind, remember subsequently. I said to him, as an analog, what I was going to say to you, the Gemara says in Seder, when Miller passed Seder of its volume, and one of the motifs of Seder's volume, both in terms of its objective meaningful significance and objective plane, and viewed with an eye to Moshe Rabbeinu's personal experience, such a tragedy, such a sad parasha, viewed to the prism of his response, with respect to which the anxiety to enter the soil. First we storm the gates of heaven in the first parasha of Yishanan. It's very powerful and very pervasive. I suppose for some of you, some of us, it's a difficult to fathom. And to Chazal was a difficult to fathom. One can assume that this would have been a very significant day in his life, to be able to cross over. And one can understand the express of this desire, not simply in some kind of rational terms, but as a plea. Everyone knows, we don't have to ask the Torah. He doesn't use too much. He just wants to go and establish eye contact. To be part of that scene. And his day will be done. Mr. Billy asked in the Gemara, why is Moshe Rabbeinu so anxious to enter the soil? Material experience of being on the soil is so wonderful, and the fruits are good. Why the desperate plea? As I was phrasing the question, and what we might describe as being physiological terms, respond in spiritual terms. Well, certainly, as far as having a good time, being able to live passionately, that could have been done in Chutzlars just as well, perhaps even better. However, Bishop made a cheshbon was many mitzvahs which we performed in Eretz Yisrael and at the Chutzlars. Moshe Rabbeinu, whose life was so suffused the Kiva mitzvahs, performing them, teaching them, experiencing them, he always had a piece of the action throughout the totality of the mitzvahs. Because in other contexts, just myself at this point, the mitzvah of Miklot. So it's a refuge for someone who killed someone accidentally. So on one hand, can't relate to the situation, nothing had happened. On the other hand, to give him the most extreme penalty would also be excessive. So to establish an intermediate sentence whereby he's confined in what some regards the equivalent of a prison, but not beyond that. Now the Lord asks, there were to be 9 such cities. Apart from the Elvim, another 42. Those would not take effect to get the status as being safe havens until all of them have been established. It has to be a network, a system. She meant that even if the cities were to be established, those which were in Eva Yarden, in Moshe's lifetime, but that would be simply defining them geographically. Obviously, they would not be collate that serve that capacity until all the whole network was established. So why Beishu sails the Pasuk Eschana describes as the Moshe Shoshoim? Three cities of Evayan do nothing. They can't serve the, in their role. The answer Chazal give there is that indeed, formally, technically, halachically, legally, those are not yet Ohel Miklot. Those will be part of their future, part of their destiny. But the opportunity to perform evil would be, by halachic terms, a ma'aseh mitzvah without the kibbutz mitzvah. You would perform the ritual, as it were, of designating these communities, even though their character, their nature, their role cannot yet be implemented, that in and of itself is something which is meaningful to Moshe Rabbeinu. The opportunity to do another mitzvah, even though it's a mitzvah which doesn't take effect yet, and whose place within the totality of Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime, it is dropped in the bucket. In Moshe Rabbeinu's bucket, there are no drops. Everything there is meaningful. Everything significant. Everything, an aspect, a facet of his Avodas Hashem, his role in service in the Ben Shleilam, in disseminating his word and realizing his demands. Consequently, Mishnah answers that Gemara said, with which I opened, that the main mitzvahs of Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to perform, and that was the source of his anxiety. The Ramban, interestingly, almost a passing comment in his Pirush Dvar Eschanan, gives a more natural, if you will, more human kind of answer. He says that the tefillah is recorded in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give vent, wanted to communicate to others the depth of his passion, of his love for us Israel. If that's what the Ramban says over there, it's another theme which the Ramban discusses in many, many contexts. Which speaks a different language. The Ramban, both in Pirush Vayikra and Pirush Dvarim, takes the position that the significance of the Sefer Kibra Mitzvahs is not simply quantitative. It's not, as would appear from that Gemara said to us previously, that there were X mitzvahs which were performed in the Chutzos or Eretz Yisrael, and Y mitzvahs which were performed in Eretz Yisrael. So the sum total is greater and larger in Eretz Yisrael. That's true. Of course, the Rambam denied that in any event. But the point the Rambam makes elsewhere, however that's to be understood, is that the role of Eretz Yisrael in Kibra Mitzvah is not confined to the mitzvahs which are specific and peculiar to Eretz Yisrael. The significance of mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael has to do with each and every mitzvah, regardless of whether those mitzvahs are uniquely to be performed in Eretz Yisrael, or whether it's part of those mitzvahs, Chavis Aguf, as opposed to Chavis Kalka, which is universal in their scope, and part of that mandate was which we've been charged, wherever we may be. The Rabban has the parsha in Achimos, which we really have keep in the afternoon to back you up. And he has a comment with Sifri. In some respects, a very daring, in other respects, a very depressing comment, which is made in Sifri. In the second passage of Krishna, so towards the end of that second passage, mention is made of tefillin and mezuzahs as it may be made in the first passage. But with a different context. The first passage of Krishna is one which is hortatory and celebrative. It's everything which is there is positive. Positive as a charge, probably positive also as a description of what you do. And those of us, hopefully it's all of us, responsive to charge, to mandate, to responsibility, and to duty. And to regard duty, that's something which is onerous, something which is challenging, which is rewarding, which elicits from us our worth and our readiness to be committed. That's what the first part is all about. Second Pasha, however, begins on that very warm, joyful note, which describes how good we are going to be, hopefully, and how good the Bresh is going to be, hopefully. But it doesn't take, but I don't want to say how long it takes you. But let's say a minute or two. From the beginning of that second parasha, and it's frightful. We've barely been able to somehow plan, think ahead, project how it's going to be Esav B'Sotcha, and go to your behemoth the sotcha. And then there's an admonition. It's only an admonition, it's not a projection, it's not a prediction. But the very prospect, the very possibility is awful. Yishavu lachem peyftel vavchem esratem vavatem meira. It's not enough to be told that we're going to be ejected, exiled, with all that that entails. Let me be quick. The two things so terrible that this comes up Sukkim. What is the thought? It's going to happen. And everything which accompanies it is in and of itself frightful. But secondly, even if one relates to this as a possibility, Pen, if the pen means if it, it might happen, it might not happen. It's something we can even contemplate. Can you imagine if you go to a wedding and the host of the color rejoicing, dancing, someone comes over and says, ah, you rejoice, you dance. Just wait. Maybe within a couple of months, within a couple of years, one of them will be off the plantation and looking for others. Other sexual experiences. A person who is healthy and his marriage anticipates to be fruitful and joyful. They have a meaning. And there is a way she puts that meaning right on the table. Yishavu lachem peyfte levavchem, yisaltem vavatem meira. That kind of option is in itself depressing. So the background of Tefillin Mezuzos, the second parasha, very different than the first parasha. Maybe an ordinary experience we just run through, riffle through, through the parashas. We don't fully realize what we're saying. And for two reasons. Some because they're just in a rush. And others because they're not in a rush. They're so slowed down by trying to be certain that they pronounce it, vocalize it just as it should be vocalized. They forget what the content is. All they remember is what you say, Savato, Savanto. But the scene which unfolds, and then we are told this to be subsequently, after the initial honeymoon, after the decline, the breakdown of the relationship with Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be Golos in exile. Chorav Hashem Bachem Vatemera. Then we hear about Tefillin Mezuzos. I suppose most of us reading the parasha, reciting it on our own, don't stop, don't even pause perhaps, and try to put it all together. What link is there, if there's any link, between the exile and the Tefillin Mezuzos? Hence, the three comes up, as I said before, a very daring and a very depressing comment. Pasuk Yirmiyahu, which has the nobody speaking to Klal Yisrael, you go off to exile, it's a bad state. It's a debilitating state. And particularly, we approach, we think of Golus, knowing that Knesset Yisrael has the guts, the determination, the ability to survive it. But did anybody know that when he was part of the original group, the first exilarchs? No. The ability to survive as a nation in total exile, well, was left at the soil after the first Golos, and for and all the shlim meals, someone couldn't do anything else, they'll stay there. where does one derive the strength of sustenance, the ability to manage and to remember and to experience and not to lose our identity, to survive, for that we need some tools, some mementos, something to remind us of home, something to keep the home fires burning, not in the sense that the fires which are at home are burning, but the fire for home in us is burning. Put signs up, have posters, take an old photograph album and look at it and ask yourself, is that us? That's what we were at one time, happy or lucky couple with a couple of kids running around. See what else you need. Make signs, have mementos. And says the Sifri, the reason that the Torah speaks here of tefillin, which is this, is not as it was the first parasha. Tefillin and mezuzahs are part of the bonds of which joyfully connect us to the Baruch Shem Leilam. Not a reminder of tragedy, of destruction, but that which doesn't simply remind, but establishes, which determines, which creates. That was the first parasha. Over there, no one knew about Golos. Here's the second parasha. And Golos fills the air. Golos fills the heart. Golos feeds the mind. You must have something to be able to overcome this terrible experience. And therefore, Torah says, let's have tunim marks. For tune today, you remind me perhaps of some association with grades in school. But the Chazal, the term tzion, usually applies to kvarim. Apidin, the kever should have a sign as who's buried there. Not just for, he says, his grandchildren, great grandchildren, the one who's there. That's part of the burial, that's part of maintaining his identity. And so he says, tzion tzion. We don't want people to forget, even in Golos, we don't want them to forget us, the Torah, to forget its mitzvahs, to forget the range and the quality of the religious life that's lived over there. So, have tefillin, have mezuzahs, that will remind you of us, the Torah. And it will serve as a propaedeutic agent, as a preparatory tool, paving the way for going back to the soil. That's what the Sifri says. Now, Ben Harb's done that. It involves this general motif in many contexts. And of course, it's a remarkable statement. And I say again, a frightening one. Particularly the way the Ramban doesn't simply cite the Sifri, but he chews you out, talks about it again and again and again. The obvious question is, tefillin, which people wear in Chutz La'aretz, there's no inner worth to that mitzvah. There's no inherent merit, no inherent message, it's all instrumentally a tool to help you remember Eretz Yisrael, and his religious life in Godless means nothing. How could it be? It's a very interesting remark, ingenious, I should say, remark, said in the name of the Goyen. Goyen said, it's assumed, of course, it's inconceivable. Tefillin is used all over the world, they're only there in order to serve as signposts to advertise us Israel, Chas v'Shalom. But says the Goyen, they had in the texts of the Sifri, there's Rosh HaTevis, an acronym, Tough of Mem can have one of two meanings if you unravel it. Tumotu Masrot, Tfilin Mezuzot. But it says what happened was that someone, the text had read Tumotu Masrot. Tumotu Masrot, of course, were only applicable to the soil, the Geise, and the Chutzlots. So that was fine. That's something which you would do in Chutzlots, it's only a reminder of the soil. May raise certain halach issues. If someone who lives in New Jersey chayv to lose the maizlis in order to get back to the soil, but would that be the philosophic issue? But demoting, as it were, devaluing, debasing so much kibbutz mitzvahs in Chutzlots, that would not be true. But part of the fact, and therefore, this diffuses the problem I touched on before. However, first of all, even though they're going and extreme self-confidence and extreme originality, still, that's something which one does lightly. And particularly since taking that particular attack means that's a challenging, but dismissing the Goyen, the Ramban, in many, many places. Besides which, this is an obvious point. Why, at the end of that part of the Krishna, should the Sifri talk about Tumas of Isis? Why do we discuss this that Sukim? Tefillin Mezuzos. Tefillin Mezuzos, that's what the parents of Sifri is talking about, but not Tumas of Isis. An issue is a sensitive issue, and I'm not here to sell you the idea that whatever Tefillin Mezuzos is using in New York or in London is only a tool. I'm comfortable with the notion that there is a qualitative distinction in terms of the level, the character, a mitzvah shvur mekayim is part of the commonwealth within a context of a community and society which is committed to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. In certain respects, it's only a political commonwealth. In other respects, it's much more than that. And I can very well understand that you have a mitzvah, which is an island somewhere within the context of the universe. It floats around over there. It's very different from one which is grounded in terra firma. It's part of a total community, with all the issues and all the problems which the healthy community has. I can understand. Which is significant, immeasurably significant, in its own right. But the thought that that's all there is, it's more than I find I can spiritually digest. So this respect, this particular passage of the Ramban, which admittedly is a very significant one because he repeats it so much, he gives it so much weight, but I can take it light. But getting back to Abba Mitzvah boy waiting for me to finish. I said to him, every Abba Mitzvah boy is upgraded spiritually as a Eved Hashem and a person who became mitzvahs. Regardless of where you're Abba Mitzvah, in Canberra, in Johannesburg, in London, in Chicago, wherever it is. And the other hand, everyone coming to us to Israel is upgraded, given our man's perspective, with regard to Kiva Mitzvahs, irrespective of whether he's 13 or 30 or 70, irrespective of that, the change in venue quantitatively upgrades you to a different league. But now I said to him, what's happened to you? Wonder of wonders. You upgraded doubly. From an age which is too young, too juvenile, to settle you, as it were, but this little thing of mitzvahs, you move into the age, the area of responsibility, fully pervasive. From residing in became mitzvahs, Yechutzlaz, relatively devoid, relatively, of the presence of Shechina, to confront Shechina, to meet Shechina, and as Yeshua Gedoy Shuta. There is, of course, Shechina all over. The Gemara Babasa has two Pshatim, where Shechina is definitely by my love in the west. The whole worker. But still, given the man's perspective, you'd be upgraded there too. But in your case, I said to him, it's a dual upgrading. My place and my person. And I respect, if you take two medicines at the same time, that's not just a quantitative undertaking. Each affects the other. And the chemistry of your whole body is affected, not simply by each one of two medicines taken independently, but the fusion, the combination, the synchronization of both medicines jointly, hopefully enhancing your existence. I said to that young man, hoping that he'll remember a few years hence, I say to you, to many of you, and hope you remember a few years too. I don't know specifically where each day where you come to. So he goes over to me, he says hello, he goes, I should know who he is. I asked him, where did you come? Nine bus. But from where you're coming, leads into the latter half of that dictum, you're not told where you headed. And to some extent, not exclusively so, and not totally so, but to some extent, from where you're coming, will help determine where you're going. For many of you, this is a virginal experience in terms of the range, the depth, the scope of life in yeshiva, life that is in a center which is first and foremost at your personal level. The yeshiva has more general aims as well at a social, a common, and a public level. But the private level, that for which the yeshiva exists, in order to take yechidim, help enrich them, direct them, guide them, infuse them with a sense of Eretz Hashem in depth, intensity. For many, it's an additional experience. It's a virginal experience. So I speak to Bachim and ask them, have you done anything like this before? So again, an answer which from a certain point of view is satisfactory. From another point of view reflects the person that fully understood the question. Ah yes, he goes to Kibbutz Barashah. Kibbutz Barashah is a fine place, I have nothing special against it. But I hope you will agree, unless I misread Kibbutz Barashah totally, it's not quite fully an issue. And the range, the variety, the depth of what it's like to be a yeshiva, that's a novel experience. Now this novel experience would have come to some extent where we would have gone to. You go to Gates said that you go to Lakewood, wherever you would go. Becoming a Ben Taylor, and the road to becoming a Ben Taylor, if you were now engrossed morning to night, trying to decipher, to understand, and to internalize the Baal Hashem, regardless of where you would have gone, what would have happened. And a certain sense of spirituality that you would experience, hopefully, although today it's not as pervasive as it was 30 years ago, but hopefully not as well. We have a reservoir of idealism, of commitment, a commitment to Yahadus, a commitment to Klatz Yisrael, which even if you had gone to Kibbutz such as Gidon Sar, you will experience something there here too. But you get a double potion. As Ravitsa boy attains the level of spirituality of Shiva Mitzvahs at the Israeli level, the Israeli model, because Bar Mitzvah, when he comes to Israel, for those of you, and I gather it's not any significant number, for those of you who come to Israel, maybe after the first time, I know many of you have been here to visit, and I don't minimize the importance of that. But there too, if you've been here before, most of you would not come to yeshiva. To tour, to visit the city, to enjoy all that was there. Here you are experiencing jointly and simultaneously the novelty, challenge the joy of being at soil and being Yishuv. Every way to gauge how those of you confronted with this double whammy, if you will, have responded. Speaking in objective terms, neutral terms, one could say, well, what do you mean? How else could one respond? You place the mug which is called Kedusha. So of course, but nevertheless, there may be some of you encountering Rashi the last old, find the temperature a bit hotter than their division. Maybe some of you did not come as fully ready to undertake the experience. And maybe some of you are struggling a bit. I hope that those who are struggling are enjoying the struggle too. One of the messages I hope you'll take back home with you is that which is so central to Jewish experience and Jewish living. I'm thinking to a mentor. Would you not subscribe to the approach, the dictum, which one of the world's premier philosophers has imprinted upon the monoculture? Kant's notion that duty and joy are antithetical. If you like something, if you like someone, you can't act ethically in relation to him. Schiller, a German poet, succeeded Kant chronologically, said about Kant's theories, in order to act ethically to vis-a-vis a person, you first have to hate him. That sounds a bit strange, but let me bear in mind that Chazal saw a person in the same way. Ki tirech ha-mosu na-acha huwe tzahat baso. Why the mention made to enemy? All your enemy's horses collapse. Your friends don't collapse. But Chazal explained with self-evident, if you understand the pasuk, that the pasuk wants to challenge you morally, ethically, more sharply, more acutely. So to that end, he gave you a task of lifting not just your friends' animals, but your enemies. But broadly speaking, we do not subscribe to Kant's approach. We are totally convinced. And this I say again, notwithstanding the difficulty, notwithstanding the fact that maybe we at certain times of the day and certain days of the week, begin to wane or to wax a little tired. Fundamentally, joy is part of the Torah experience, and hard labor, not the kind that goes out of the prison camps. Hard labor is also part of the experience. Pasuk echad emer, Yidus Hashem b'yiro. Another part of it says, Yidus Hashem b'simcha. But Pasuk b'yiro tzilim. So if you find you're working hard, don't come to me for pity. Sure, you work hard. I work hard too. But that work the term avoda in Shul HaKodesh has multiple meanings. It has some sensation to be obeyed, to be evid. And avoda does something which is rewarding, which is challenging, which imposes upon us our humanity, and doing so imprints upon us our humanity. So of course, it's good to be challenged here, and sometimes it's difficult, but hopefully if your experience here is what it should be, retrospectively, those of you who are in finer hours, those which were difficult, more challenging, and enabled you to take a step and a half forward in becoming the mentor for whose becoming you came here. But there's a third element. I've spoken of the special meaning of coming to Eretz Yisrael and encountering the Rosh Hashanah there, and of coming to the Beis Medrash and encountering the Rosh Hashanah there. We learn as we learn what we learn, partly out of cognitive curiosity. But first and foremost, we learn what we learn because we are committed to Chazal's faith. The Mishnayos and others, the 10, we learn Shkinei Moim, 5 Shkinei Moim, 3 Shkinei Moim, 2 Shkinei Moim, 1 Shkinei Moim. That's what we believe. It's that which animates us, which excites us, and enriches us. Hopefully, it's that which we try to do. You as chanichim and ourselves as chanichim, to give you experience which is richly rewarding, and one in the context of which, in the course of which, you just simply test yourself and meet your goals. Imagine if you came to a basketball camp and it set you up to come to see what you can do. That's not shooting fouls. So you shoot 30 fouls out of 100, let's say. You're there for 2 years. At the end of 2 years, you're still shooting 30 fouls out of 100. You recommend that camp to your friends? Being a challenging institution, in challenging context, entails not only striving and even be struggling to attain the goals which you established yourself and which directed you and encouraged you to come to Yeshiva in the first place, to come to Yeshiva in the first place, and to come to Yeshiva in Yeshiva, certainly. You want to raise the bar. Sure, you didn't start from scratch. And someone who's here, someone who's already been learning for years, engaged in learning, responsive to learning. So the Bible is not anywhere near zero. If it's pole vaulting, it's not even near 10. But if you're very anxious to bigger the pole vaulter, well, sure, it's 15, 18, whatever, I forget what it's holding now. There's a spiritual pole vaulter to be done by the rabbis say. Let's get on with it. But as I said previously, there's a third element here with altitude. In many yeshivot, practices to arrange zmanim of learning according to the calendar of many of his zmanim. They have been practiced in Eastern Europe, and there is a practice today, some yeshivot which imagine that everything you do, you have to do just the way it was done in Eastern Europe. And let's start this man. Winter's man after Sukkot, summer's man after Pesach. There's a merit to that setup. It's not most feasible for ourselves over here, but so many new bachim come in somewhere else that to have a plunge in the midst of a mesichta, which barely able to avoid the tips of the toenails. It would never be good for them. But whatever the reason may be, we're part of a cycle of Guru Yeshivot, which tend to start the year at Elul and otherwise. What that means is, instead of having two double antidotes, you have triple antidotes. The beginning of your experience of Adventure, the beginning of your experience of Eretz Yisrael, as the heartland of Torah, as the beginning of a new year on the horizon, these particular challenges. And if you spent the last year, you should have spent it growing, developing, in Avedis Hashem, in Midas, in Avas Hashem, Yos Hashem. If all that's been taking place, then you're hopefully readier to meet the Ben Shleilam and meet him in some of the very many modes of the Spirit. You just had three brachas, which is the epicenter of Musa Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanim, and the Chaim thought this made a great deal of sense. The Rosh Hashanim, who had all three brachas in all the Shvesas of Rosh Hashanah. It's a prime thought, it makes a great deal of sense. We don't find with that the other Shvetanias is that there are additional blocks in the middle. Those Shvetanias, you had that, but not otherwise. My message those blocks only in order to draw your attention. I hope you'll go home and look at it and see what was being said. Draw your attention to the range, sweep, intensity of the requests. We plead for ourselves and I plead for all Klal Yisrael, but I plead for the general world as well. Chofetz Chaim used to say that the Goyim only knew what to plead for on their behalf. Yom HaShoneh, they went out and prayed the Stach HaMaseir. We plead for material benefits, for good health, for joy, for things which make life so powerful and so heartening. We plead a personal plane, we plead a collective plane, looking retrospectively at the Nigleitza, Barak Medecha, the Mahat Mamil Sinai. Our Shana, among other things, is reminiscent of the Mamil Sinai. It's the same shape for him and there. All of that, as the package we want to give to eventually, in the hope that we find us worthy and desirous, genuinely worthy and desirous, of contacting him at all those levels, in all those dimensions. So something we want to think about. We want to find ourselves more and more reflecting, more and more giving thought, not only to what it means to live in the Yeshiva Yad Yisrael, what it means to experience Rosh Hashanah in Yeshiva Yad Yisrael. Remember the Rosh Hashanah was lifted 25 years ago, one week ago, 25 years. The Torah tells, it tells women to go to shul. But Shem Kippur was going to be different. Actually, we have used davening in Yeshiva or Shem Kippur, she could never anywhere else. And while that's where my parents lived, this was only an opportunity to daven in Yeshiva Sheminyan. My parents seized it. So much wealth there. It's a remarkable amount of wealth. That's something you want to think about. I can't think about. Not only the course of the Seder Shemesre or the Shachris of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. As Mitzvahs and Chutz La'aretz do not quite attain the level of achievement and significance in Eretz Yisrael because they're much more isolated. What defines and so enriches life in Eretz Yisrael is the interaction. Here you are in a country where everything is Jewish. The government is Jewish, and the army is Jewish, and the stock market is Jewish. It's all part and parcel of where we are, a part of us, and we're part of it. So here we are in Eretz Yisrael, where everything touches us. Anywhere Rosh Hashanah, what would you say it to the Rabbi Dizbe Yomir? So much passion, so much concern. Because we are in the midst of that community whose that benefit we cherish and for whom we plead. And it's not islands floating around anywhere. It's not even an archipelago of islands. It's an integrated, organically related society, community, within which the Chur and the Kurdish, Torah, general studies, computers engaging us collectively as a unit, help for leaders to lead a life so much fuller, so much richer, to lead the kind of life for whom, for which we came to be here on Rosh Hashanah in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. May we appreciate properly what that message is all about. And may we have the determination, the ability, and the will to see those dreams realized, those ambitions, guiding us, directing us, whatever wherever we get back in the general world. Hope. A couple of questions about time. What happened, that happened, they didn't touch upon it. למדנו מיצים ודבורים, מיליוני ספורים, the discrepancies and why. Because the part of dvorim is in a sense the mishav that matters. We have been felt in recapitulating with the focusing on certain elements which that is still always of a central factual. There's other elements of here. I don't know after that well. His father comes around, it's finished every day. You see him. But one thing I'm sure of, certainly, that the impact upon his life, being of his own, does not in any way compare with the impact on my life. He is, when I'm telling this director, an interesting figure, worth studying, worth holding up as a model, etc. But I think Rabbi Tal joined this temptation in two things. Number one, I received the yeshiva, which at that time was nowhere near what you see over here. You look back at some photo albums and see the pictures of what it was like over here. When I, for the first time, standing with Rabbi Tal, watch you point out Shabti Yeshiva. And I just said, what's he meant? Those hills, all those rocks, old trees, that's the Yeshiva. And I got two things for every talent in this area. One, I got yeshiva in a physical sense. Piece of real estate on which, if you have the right people working for you, if you stimulate, energize those people, the yeshiva may arise. But having yeshiva does not simply mean having real estate. Real estate is a thing which makes the feasible, makes it possible. But there was the opportunity, not necessarily on the soil, relatively freed of other responsibilities. But I was in the view here for the position. I told people to give me much color of a dollar. I come to yeshiva, you offer me to yeshiva, fine. But I've come here to do one thing. Do the Lord allow me. At that end, I appreciate being offered the opportunity to do so. But just looking at the pictures, what I'm going to see, what's going to be. I've said on many occasions, whatever it does for me to spread. Anyone who's worked in a hierarchy society something was not clear that's what it means. C.S. Lewis in one of his early books, The Allegory of Love, has a chapter on Spencer. He calls him Spencer and he has one of his stanzas, one of his nine-line stanzas. Of course, Spencer, and it's a description of an army base. And the army base, everybody who's there, there's the level of being an officer, is all goal in mind. Everybody's done two. One goal is to become chief, to tell Rabbi to college, The other is, I would become Ramatkal, you step the hell out of whom you have to walk in order you should get the virtue to clear for you. If you have any doubts, just read newspapers over here, Mr. Ashkenazi, it's not over here. Maybe. That was to be an exercise which I was privileged to see and to be beneficiary of. The exercise Gurus Chassadim at a level at which you rarely see. I can't say, can't speak. He never came to talk to me. What did Rav Mital, which Rachel saw, when he was in Paris, Rav Mital that I saw. But I'm sure that the level of pure chesed, he had to do less than I saw. But they asked me, should you go ahead and read his book? Read his book. I don't have any shoes to distribute. So, make do with seeing the shoes we have.
There's a sign up on the base medrash that learning tomorrow is dedicated for someone. I just want to understand what that meant and how could that could be selected for us. It says on the above the thermostat that all the learning of the yeshiva tomorrow is dedicated for somebody. And I just want to know what that can mean, how I understand that rationally.
I don't know exactly for whom. There's a general faith which we share, which extends beyond what you're talking about. But which I mean, that just extends beyond that. Written for in memory of Flaflani and includes Albania as well. If you say the Braham of Freedom, there's a passage you can insert which expands the vision of the author. We start speaking in the language of the reality. He speaks in the first person, we speak in eight, he speaks in the first person singular, we speak beyond the first person singular. He said, afraid of Shemi, afraid of Shemi, if he does the other, so the plural. But, in substance, it's the same thing. But there's a faith here, some people find the naive. Chazal, hopefully, do tell Rabbi Shah Zvachim, the Chazal you find in one form or another, relation, question, worthy. That's there. I step in there. What it stands. The Gemara in Baruchim, they know what's going on in this world, don't know what's going on in this world. Elsewhere, questions which confront our world, but the Gershon world as well. Is it something like alms which you can give with which the deceased person can be credited or not? Now that's not the question of learning for the memory of someone. Those who are here and come by Lev Shneis, they all said to my parents, no, every Lev Shneis, I said to them, if it's there, the meaning that story started with Lev Gilinsky. He had worked in early German Jewry, last century, 12th century. And he explains what is the historical origin of the Mishabechs. The Mishabech started prior to that, the shul funded by more general agencies. They began to be funded, they needed to be funded, but it was down the street. Where is the shul going to get money? So the Mechadish institution of Mishanada. But it's effective. I had a session recently with some people about if a person needs the money as well, he's a sucker. Who's current over that? The recipient? Or the donor? We got the components. Is the component based in or is it not? A couple of weeks ago, we interviewed Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, what do we say, Yiskel? Now, we say Yiskel at two levels. One is the level of Yom Kippur. The other is the Yiskel as the observer's book. But obviously, there's a top of difference. Yom Kippur is Dev Kapor. If you ask for kapara for the living, for the dead, etc., the last day of Gibbon Golem, that's not a day per se devoted to kapara. We say the parts after we speak about what the day was given for. Shabbos Menucha, Yom Tov, Simcha, here's the Chesed of Kapara. But not the Gibbon HaGolim. So having it, saying the Shabbat over there, or Gibbon HaGolim over there, is not something which is part parcel of the definition of the day. So here when we say the Shabbat, on Yom Kippur. We say in the spirit, the Sifri. That the Sifri, and the comment which is made not in Yom Kippur, the comment which is made the time to bring the Eglamufa. Kapadon Abadon Abadon Hashem. Fritzes Kapitel Amcha, those are the dead, those are the living. Mitzvah Hashem, we redeemed the course of history. But the other sugyas, the Gemara at the end of the first part of Eruvah, which says, bring up all the Mason. So learning, and the Tzedakah, and the Kabbalahs, and the Tzedakahs, all part of what is said through the eye to enhancing the Sabbath of the Mason. I didn't see what he was talking about, so I can't put that, but the overall direction is always grounded in that shit. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.